السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
حي على الصلاة.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
حي على الفلاح.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
حي على الفلاح.
على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. الحمد لله الحمد لله الملك العظيم الحكيم الإله المنان الوهاب الكريم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له جامع الخلائق لفصل القضاء في اليوم العظيم وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وقرة أعيننا محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله السابق للخلق نوره ورحمة للعالمين ظهوره الهادي إلى الصراط المستقيم صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وعلى التابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا عباد الله إني أوصيكم ونفسي الخاطئة المذنبة بتقوى الله تقوى الله التي لا يقبل غيرها ولا يرحم إلا أهلها ولا يثيب إلا عليها إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين جعلنا الله وإياكم منهم آمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us on this day of Jum'ah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins, the most outward of them, and the hidden, and the apparent, and the secret of them. Ya Rabbul Alameen, O Allah, gaze upon us with your mercy and with your guidance and rectify our states and rectify the state of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, forgive us and accept our actions, Ya Rabbul Alameen. O Allah, forgive us and accept us, Ya Rabbul Alameen. O Allah, forgive us and accept us, Ya Rabbul Alameen, and have mercy upon us and guide us to the straight way. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِّنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابًا مُتَشَابِهًا مَثَانِيَ تَقَشِعِرُّ مِنْهُ جلود الذين يخشون ربهم ثم تلين جلودهم وقلوبهم إلى ذكر الله ذلك هدى الله يهدي به من يشاء ومن يضلل الله فما له من هاد. Listen carefully to the translation of the meanings of these two verses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to the understanding of the implications of these verses. Ameen. What about the one whose heart Allah has opened in devotion to him, to Islam, so that he walks in light from his Lord? Alas, for those whose hearts harden at the mention of Allah. Their hearts harden to the remembrance of Allah, to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have clearly lost their way. Those whose hearts have become hardened from the remembrance of God and from the mention of God. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, their hearts become hard. They have clearly lost their way. Allah has sent down the most beautiful of all teachings, a scripture, of course, meaning this Quran, that is consistent and draws comparisons, that causes the skins of those in awe of their Lord to shiver. Now that is the question. إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, it says in one verse of the Quran, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts shake. Now we have here in this verse, that when they hear this scripture, this teaching, their skins shiver. And who are these people? These are the people that يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. They have reverential awe and fear of the divine. Those are the ones whose skins shiver at the recitation of this book. So look at yourself, and I'm including myself, of course. Look at yourself. When Allah is mentioned, does your heart shake? When the Quran is recited, does your skin تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, does your skin shiver at the recitation of this book? And then it says, then their skins and their hearts soften to the remembrance of Allah. After that, they shiver and they shake, and then their hearts calm and soften to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such is Allah's guidance, it says. Such is Allah's guidance. So when that happens to one, know that truly you are on the path to being guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He guides with it whomever He wills. And the one whom Allah leaves astray, for him there is no guide. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves someone astray, who's going to guide them? Is someone going to be guided after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse in the Quran, that was in Az-Zumar, the first one was in Az-Zumar, this one is in Al-An'am. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَن يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Al-An'am, verse number 125, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to guide, He expands His heart to Islam. Yashrah. Even the word sounds, subhanAllah, like this expansiveness. Yashrah sadrahu lil Islam. Expands His heart to submission to God. Think of it that way. Submission to Allah. And whoever He wills to leave astray, He makes His chest tight and constricted as if He is going up into the sky. Today I would like to talk about the causes for the expansion and constriction of the heart. This is a really important topic. Those things that can expand the heart and those things that can constrict the heart. One of the great imams, and this is going to be based on one of the imams named Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, was a scholar of the past, probably around about 700 years ago. And the reason I'm choosing him to base this talk on is because he is what I like to call something like a Hamzat Wasl, or a connecting figure. Because there are certain groups of the Muslims that don't want to talk about spirituality. They don't want to delve into the matters of the heart and of purification of the soul. They think it might be some form of innovation or something like this. Then there is other side that doesn't really want to pay attention to too much of the details of the Sharia and the knowledge. So Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah seems to be somewhere in the middle. And so I want to bring some wisdom from his words in order to hopefully bring these people over here and bring these people over here so that we can move forward in a beneficial and good manner. He says, وَمِنْهَا, from the causes, أَنُّورَ الَّذِي يَقْذِفُ اللَّهُ فِي قَلْبِ الْعَبْدِ وَهُوَ نُورُ الْإِيمَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَشْرَحُ الصَّدْرُ وَيُوَسِّعُهُ ويفرح القلب فإذا فقد هذا النور من قلب العبد ضاق وحرج وصار في أضيق سجن وأصعبه. Amazing words, subhanAllah. He says, from the causes of the expansion of the chest, if you will, of the heart, is this light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thrusts into the heart of the servant. And it is the light of faith, the light of iman. For verily this light, when it comes into the heart, it expands the breast, it expands the chest, and it makes it wide, and it brings joy and happiness to the heart. And if this light is devoid from the heart of the slave, then it becomes tight and constricted, and he becomes as if in the most tightest and confined prison and the most difficult. That's what happens to the person when they lose the light of iman. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith, إِذَا دَخَلَ النُّورُ الْقَلْبِ انْفَسَحَ وَانْشَرَحَ قَالُوا وَمَا عَلَامَةُ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And we are so grateful to the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they would ask these questions. What if they didn't ask that and they just left the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying the first statement and then they didn't ask him? It says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when this light comes into the heart, it expands and it gets wider. And so they said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the sign of that? How do we know that this is taking place? Now listen to how we know it's taking place. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, قال, this is the alama, this is the sign of that. الإنابة إلى دار الخلود والتجافي عن دار الغرور والاستعداد للموت قبل نزوله. Simple, but very difficult and complex. Simple, you can say it in three short phrases in Arabic, but very complex. The Prophet ﷺ, he responded, the sign of such is constant turning towards the abode of eternity. Constant turning and yearning towards the abode of eternity, to the hereafter. And indifference to the abode of delusions. If you get some dunya, mashallah, alhamdulillah. You use it right, you use it correctly, you praise Allah. If you don't get dunya, or if you can't find money, then you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have patience and you have wisdom in looking at the situation. But you're indifferent. You just want to be pleasing to Allah. You just want to be pleasing to Allah in this state, in that state. Indifference towards the abode of delusions and preparation for death before it arrives. Preparation for death before it arrives. Wallahi, you have no idea when it's going to come. You have no idea. It could be today. Really, really think about that. It could be today. It could be right now. It could be now. I mean, could someone not just have a heart attack right now? God forbid, may Allah protect us and preserve us all. But anything could happen right now. But do we live like that? With that consciousness, that awareness of Allah and the closeness to death? We don't live like that. And that doesn't mean you should be like, astaghfirullah, you know, like everything, like you're depressed and down. No. You should be serious, and there should be even a bigger smile on your face because you know that Allah has given you yet another chance. One more second, I have another chance. One more second, I have another chance. One more breath, I have another chance. And you should praise Allah and be happy that Allah has given you that so that you could do more and you could do goodly actions and be better to people and rectify what you have done wrong in the past. So he says also, and from the causes of this expansion, al-ilm, knowledge. فَإِنَّهُ يَشْرَحُ الصَّدْرُ وَيُوَسِّعُهُ حَتَّى يَكُونَ أَوْسَعْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. This is amazing. وَالْجَهْلُ يُورِثُ الضِّيقُ وَالْحَصْرُ وَالْحَبْسُ. He says, and from the causes of the expansion of the chest is knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge expands the chest and widens it until it becomes more vast than the entire world. Take it for what it is. Knowledge that makes the heart feel more vast than the entire world. And ignorance bequeaths constriction, confinement, and imprisonment. Constriction, confinement, and imprisonment. One of the imams, he looked out at the Muslims at his time, and he had expansive and extensive knowledge. And he looked at them and he said, this man is doing this buying and selling business transaction according to the statement of this alim, according to that hadith in this verse of the Quran. That person over there, he's doing it slightly different than him, but he's doing it based on this hadith and that verse and like this, and the imam said this and this imam said that. He looked at all of the Muslims and their acts of worship and in their business dealings and in their interactions and transactions between them, and he didn't see anything that was displeasing to Allah and His Messenger. Why? Because he had expansive and extensive knowledge. But when you're ignorant, and nasu a'da'u ma jahilu, that people are enemies of what they're ignorant of. And what do you see now in the American or Western context? Many people hate Muslims. Hate them. And they don't know a single thing about the correct Islam. They hate Islam. They're fear-mongering, they're scaremongering, and they're trying to scare and freak out people concerning the state of the Muslims. They don't know Islam. They don't know Sayyidul Anam, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they did, they wouldn't be acting like this, but it's ignorance. It bequeaths constriction, confinement, and imprisonment of self. Right? You're not in a physical prison, but you're imprisoning yourself in your heart, in your own self. Then he said, فَكُلَّمَا اتَّسَعَ عِلْمُ الْعَبْدِ إِنْ شَرَحَ صَدْرُهُ وَاتَّسَعَ وَلَيْسَ هَذَا لِكُلِّ عِلْمٍ بَلْ لِلْعِلْمِ الْمَوْرُوثِ عَنِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُوَ الْعِلْمُ النَّافِعِ فَأَهْلُهُ Now listen to this. فَأَهْلُهُ أَشْرَحُ النَّاسِ صَدْرًا وَأَوْسَعُهُمْ قُلُوبًا وَأَحْسَنُهُمْ أَخْلَاقًا وَأَطْيَبُهُمْ عَيْشًا This is what the Imam said. So whenever the servant's knowledge increases, his chest expands and widens along with it, in correspondence with the knowledge. But this is not with every type of knowledge, he's pointing out. But rather, this is only with the knowledge that is inherited from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And such is the beneficial knowledge. That is ilm al-nafi', what comes to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. So it's people, the people of knowledge, are the ones with the most expansive souls and the vastest hearts, the best character and the purest and best lives. The people with knowledge. And there's nothing preventing any of us from becoming a person of knowledge, a person of insight, a person of spirituality, a person of connection to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's nothing stopping us except ourselves. Now we should remember though, in this pursuit of knowledge, we should never forget the very, very important hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that begins, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. You have to remember this hadith, that verily your deeds are only in accordance with your intentions. Deeds are but by intentions, and every person shall have what they intended. So what does this mean? This means that anything that we endeavor upon, especially when we're seeking sacred knowledge, we should make sure to the utmost of our ability to make sure that it's truly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People think that they're doing things for Allah, and then they realize that they're actually not doing it for Allah. Even though they say it and they might even believe it in their minds and actually say, I'm only doing this for Allah, I don't have any other concern. But in reality, there are other things that are going on in there, known or unknown. And we have to work to try to eliminate these things from our heart because they are disgusting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take it out of our hearts. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. So one of the great Maliki jurists and scholars of hadith, Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala, he once said, now listen to this, مَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمَ لِلَّهِ فَالْقَلِيلُ يَكْفِيهِ وَمَنْ طَلَبَهُ لِلنَّاسِ فَحَوَائِجُ النَّاسِ كَثِيرَةِ And I'll tell you what I understood from this, because it could have different interpretations, but the beginning part is clear. Whoever seeks knowledge for Allah, whoever seeks this sacred knowledge for Allah, then a little bit is enough for him. A little bit is enough because Allah puts barakah and wisdom into it. But whoever seeks knowledge for the people, then the needs of the people are many. The needs of the people are many. In other words, it's just one more thing going on out there. Doesn't matter, it's of no worth. But if you seek knowledge for the sake of Allah, and for the sake of being in line with what Allah loves and being pleasing to Him, truly, then even a little bit will suffice you. Even a little bit of knowledge will suffice you. So it's al-ikhlas, al-ikhlas, al-ikhlas. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَى That they have only been commanded. They have only been commanded to worship Allah with ikhlas, with sincerity, inclining towards His oneness. That's it. That's what we've been commanded to do, to worship Allah with sincerity. So it is the secret of every convert to Islam. I have not yet met a convert to Islam that has a true conversion, right? Because there are some people that are kind of ya'ni, they could say. But a true conversion took place and they really are loving Islam and following Islam and living Islam. I have not met a single one of them except that they had the attribute of sincerity. And it is the secret of every Muslim. Every Muslim, from birth or whatever means, whatever, how it is, however it is that you've become now a Muslim, it is the secret of every Muslim is ikhlas and sincerity. And that is what makes the person successful in this life and the next. It is the indispensable companion on this journey of trials, tribulations, and many distractions. Ikhlas keeps the focus. Ikhlas, this sincerity, keeps you focused. You know your goal. Your goal is Allah and the hereafter. And ikhlas steadies the course, right? People saying, stay the course, right? Stay the course that we want is stay the course of ikhlas, of sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now listen to this. One of the great imams, he said, مَنْ فُتِحَ لَهُ بَابٌ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ فَلْيُبَادِرْ إِلَيْهِ وَلْيَثْبُتْ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي مَتَى يُغْلَقُ عَلَيْهِ. That whoever has a door of good open to them, let them rush to it. Whoever has a door of good open to them, let them rush to it and stay firm and steadfast in it. For verily, you do not know when it will be closed on you. If you have a door of good opened up and you know who you are, if you have a door of good opened up, then stay steadfast and firm in it. And rush to it and stay firm and steadfast in it. For verily, you do not know when that door will be closed on your face. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of His mercy and His guidance and His beneficence and His generosity to us. And may He help us to run to those doors and go through those doors and be blessed in those doors. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Finally, I would like to mention a few causes of the constriction of the heart or the constriction of the chest. من أعظم أسباب ضيق الصدر الإعراض عن الله تعالى وتعلق القلب بغيره والغفلة عن ذكره ومحبة سواه فإنه من أحب شيئا غير الله عذب به. This is amazing. فإنه من أحب شيئا غير الله عذب به وسجن قلبه في محبة ذلك الغير. Listen to this translation. From the greatest of the causes of the confinement and constriction of the chest are turning away from Allah. Biggest cause, turning away from Allah. If you were to ask anyone, are you turning away from Allah? They might not say yes, but you have to be honest with yourself. Turning away from Allah is doing what is displeasing to Allah. Turning away from Allah is not doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be doing at that particular time in that particular place. Those are forms of turning away from Allah. So turning away from Allah. And the attachment of the heart to other than Him. Attaching your heart to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which Allah loves. وَالْغَفْلَةُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ And being heedless from His remembrance. How many of us make a lot of dhikr of Allah? We've done whole khutbahs about the dhikr of Allah. How many of us make a lot of dhikr of Allah, day and night? وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Allah says, and make dhikr a lot. Remember God a lot. Mention Allah a lot in order that you may be successful. But how many of us actually do it? And loving other than Him. In other words, this is a deviant love. For verily, this is the part. For verily, whoever loves something in the form of a deviant love, other than Allah, he is punished by it. Whoever loves something other than Allah, or other than the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah, then he's punished by it. It bites you. Right? You fall in love with some haram thing, you fall in love with something, you go this direction, you go that direction for other than Allah, then it ends up being the thing that the very thing that punishes you. Somebody just emailed me the other day, they've got this horrible, horrendous situation that came down upon them, all because They went into a marital situation in a manner that was not pleasing to Allah. And they're not even married yet. But going about the process was incorrect. And now it's biting them like crazy. The whole family is up in arms. Or about to be, rather. About to be. And they're so scared that things are going to come out. If you didn't go about it in that manner, it wouldn't be biting you now. Go about it for Allah. Don't fall in love for other than Allah. As one brother he said, and I mentioned this before, when he was about to get married, he said to his future wife, when he was courting her Islamically, with the knowledge of the parents, he said to her, I don't need you. And you don't need me. But we need each other for the sake of Allah. So if you want to do it like that, then alhamdulillah. If not, really, I can destroy myself by myself. I don't need you to help me destroy me. I can destroy myself by myself. I don't need another person helping me destroy myself. So therefore, if you want to do this for Allah, let's do it. If not, then bismillah. Jazakallah khair. May Allah bless you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Simple as that. So whoever falls in love with other than Allah, they're punished by it. And his heart is imprisoned in the love of that thing. Love blinds. And then finally, we'll end by saying, also from the causes of the expansion of the heart are the following. دَوَامُ ذِكْرِهِ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالُ وَفِي كُلِّ مَوْتٍ. From the causes of the expansion of the heart, the expansion of the chest, are making a lot of dhikr of Allah in all times and all places. This is dhikr right now. Don't think that we're not in dhikr right now. Every time the Prophet ﷺ was mentioned, you either said in your heart or on your tongue, you said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time Allah is mentioned, something's happening in your heart. Every time the Quran was mentioning, inshallah, something's happening in your heart. Every good thing that you're hearing and that you can apply, this is dhikr. This whole gathering is dhikr of Allah. But what happens after this gathering? What happens after the salah? What happens when you go back to work? What does it say in the Surah Al-Jum'ah? That when the salah is finished, go and disperse out in the earth. Go ahead, disperse out in the earth and seek the provision of God. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And remember Allah with much dhikr in order that you may be successful. So what happens after the prayer is important also. People think they come to Jum'ah and that's it. They've done what they needed to do. No, you do what you need to do and then you do what you need to do after that also. So, فَلِذِّكْرِ تَأْثِيرٌ عَجِيمٌ فِي الشِّرَاحِ الصَّدْرِ وَنَعِيمِ الْقَلْبِ. So for dhikr has an amazing effect on expanding the chest and giving felicity and joy to the heart. SubhanAllah, those that know it, know it. Those that don't, don't. But come to know it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show it to you. وَلِلْغَفْلَةِ تَأْثِيرٌ عَجِيمٌ فِي ضِيقِهِ وَحَبْسِهِ وَعَذَابِهِ. And heedlessness has an amazing effect on the heart also, with regards to its constriction, imprisonment, and torment. Torment of the heart by being heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah not make us of the heedless. Ameen. And may He make us of the dhakireen. Ameen. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Seek forgiveness of Allah. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا عباد الله إني أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله إني أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله. I advise you and I advise myself and all of us all together with the remembrance of Allah and with the consciousness of Allah and with the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد. اللهم انظر إلي وطهن قلوبنا وزك نفوسنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين وقربنا إليك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وجعلنا من المخلصين والمخلصين يا رب العالمين. Oh Allah, forgive us of our sins and rectify our states and beautify our characters and help us to be on the straight way. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Rabb Al Alameen. Oh Allah, help us to follow in the footsteps of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, Ya Rabb Al Alameen. Oh Allah, cause us to love you and to love your messenger and everything that you love and everything that your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves. Put that in our hearts, Ya Rabb Al Alameen, and help us to do it and help us to follow it, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Oh Allah, forgive us for what we have done, for verily you know what we have done, Ya Rabb Al Alameen. Oh Allah, help us to pray all of our prayers in time, on time and with consciousness, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. And forgive us of our sins and rectify our states and rectify the state of our children, Ya Rabb Al Alameen. And give us good character, the character of the way of the Salihin and the righteous and the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And help us to wake up in the last third of the night and pray to you, Ya Rabb Al Alameen. And make us of the people of dhikr, the people of remembrance, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. And forgive us for everything, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. And accept this khutbah from us, and accept this prayer from us, and accept this Jum'ah from us, Ya Rabb Al Alameen. And help us to disperse from this Jum'ah people of dhikr, people of knowledge, people of light, people of guidance, people of good character, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allah commands three things and He forbids three things in this verse. Inna allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha anil fahshai wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun fadhkurullaha yadhkurkum washkuruhu ala ni'mihi yazidkum wa ladhikrullahi akbar wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة.